he's just an interesting human being with or without that part of it. But that part of it makes it more complex. I mean, we talk about beers and we talk about the complexity of flavors and things like that. And if this can hit you like five different ways in over 4 hours, if it can take you, you know, the first half hour, you're like, oh, go get him, you know, ask him hard questions and then make you feel sorry for him. And then you're at the end of the first episode, you don't know how you feel. And then the second episode, you know, if it takes you on a roller coaster of your relationship as a fan or as a person who thinks they know about Lance Armstrong and his journey through life and disgrace, you know, this ultimate high, you know, with this huge downfall, you know, like the farthest downfall. And it's so funny because Icarus is the name of that doc about the Russian doping, right? But it's very similar, you know. It's like it's all in the same vein, literally and figuratively, you know, the blood doping. That's what I'm hoping for.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, it's episode 119 of the Trailer Junkies podcast. How the hell are you?
I am exhausted. It was quite the week.
Quite the week.
Had a very tense week.
No, I want to jump into that like right now. But one thing I want to acknowledge, though, is so there were a few weeks where we were like doing the count. Like, it's week so-and-so of such-and-such of
COVID-19.
Dude, we lost track. I don't even know where we are anymore in this whole thing. It's like week 58 or something. You know, I mean, it's like going ridiculous. But okay, so why are you so exhausted? Oh, let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes, tell me. Guess.
You had an outrageous number of Facebook Marketplace sales, and you're walking back and forth to Satakoi and back to your house and back to Satakoi, back to your house, because you took my advice to not have people actually come to your home address. Is that why?
You know, Anne would love you right now because she's very, you know, she's very hesitant about the whole thing. I'm just like, you know, whatever. But yes, I have taken to not giving out the address.
Whenever I do like Craigslist and I do all this stuff, I'm always thinking like, all right, I'll meet you in the Home Depot parking lot. Like, it's so inconvenient.
But it's clandestine. It's like you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing or something. It's like, isn't it weird?
Yeah, but I don't need someone driving up from, like, I don't know, Goleta or Santa Barbara, because, you know, hour and a half from, okay, what did you say last week? People were coming from Orange County to buy a child's walker.
Right, right.
The first clue of, I don't even know how to describe it. The first clue is you're coming an hour and a half to my house for a $10 kids walker. What is wrong with this scenario? You know, you're going to figure out where I live. You're going to stake out the joint. You're going to look at the whole Facebook Marketplace inventory. You're going to rob me of that inventory in the middle of the night.
Oh my God, please, you know, like, I'm not concerned about
people
it.
People are crazy. I'm worried.
I don't know. I have a little more optimistic than that. Maybe I'm naive. But I don't know. I just figure
you're not so cynical.
I figure people like deals, and they're just out there looking for deals, and they want a deal, you know.
Okay, but that can't be the reason you're exhausted.
Okay. So the reason I'm exhausted is we had to do graduation for the kids, and Anne, bless her heart, she did the lion's share of like the work for the week and the planning for it all and everything. But it's just like, when you're doing it, you know, and you're trying to execute on the things that she's putting together and starting on and doing, and, you know, you got to help out. You got to roll your sleeves up. You got to hang streamers. You got to go, you know, we have birthday streamers and a whole bunch of birthday stuff that we put up.
For graduation.
And then we're like, oh, this is birthday stuff. And I have to go to the store to get a cake. And I went to the store to get a cake. And
it's graduation.
While I was at the store getting cake, I'm like, well, I'll just buy new streamers and we'll mix in and the graduation stuff and a graduation sign and a graduation door. And then during the graduation, because all the graduations were all on Vimeo, I was able to download the graduation ceremonies and then to share with family and friends. So normally when we do these things, events live in person, we videotape it with our you know, phones, and we share our little videotape. And as the W's come up, then we turn the video camera on and we videotape it a little bit. So when we get to that part of the alphabet, you're like, all right, we know there's a couple kids until Audrey or Bryce come up. So start recording. So we did that. And the cool thing about having these Vimeo things is that I just edited it. I had the show, you know, I had the full entire show, and I'm like, all right. So rather than just having my, you know, quick and dirty videotaping of Audrey walking up on the stage, whatever they did for the announcement or whatever they did for the award or whatever they did for the kids to call the roll call, I was able to cut it together. So it's all Bryce centric or it's all Audrey centric. It's like a super cut of all the stuff that's for them. Cool. And then I was like, oh, and what about that other stuff that we shot somewhere else? Like she had a distancing and set up a distancing photo shoot with her girlfriends at a park nearby. So we shot that, and I was able to roll, you know, fold that into the presentation. So I was like, I was doing a whole production, and I had a feeling that I was going to talk about this, because even in the professional, in the school's presentation, God bless them, they, you know, had so much to do and working with such different quality of audio and video and all that stuff. And putting this thing together for every single class, every single grade had their own kind of thing. But I was able to like, oh no, this is what Jimmy feels like. I have to boost this person. Oh, I have to bring this person down. I have to level out all the audio.
It's amazing.
They had backgrounds that were, you know, warping in and out. So I like neatened up the edits on, you know, some of the spots. So the past three nights, I've been editing all these videos down from 45 minutes, 50 minutes to 10 minutes to 5 minutes to 3 minutes. You know what I mean? So that's taken up a lion's share. And then we had a great lunch with Frank and Barbara, distancing again, just like Mother's Day, where they sat at a table in, you know, across the yard. I think they were like 10 feet away this time. So,
as opposed to what last time?
Last time we were closer. We were like 6 to 8 feet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But the more and more reading we do, like the more you speak and the louder you are, the less that 6 feet really means anything. So I'm like,
so the farther you get, the louder you have to be, the further you have to go. So the louder you have to be. So it becomes like exponential.
The law of diminishing return.
Yeah. It's like, what is it for light? It's the inverse square law.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you lose half the distance over the course of half the volume. Over the distance,
right.
And so you got to be even twice as loud. So you're like, oh god, where does it end?
It never ends. But so, yeah, so that was great, a great time. But it was like, it was such an exhausting week of just like back and forth and back and forth and all over the place. And yes, I'm still selling stuff on the marketplace. So,
well, you know what I say about that, Ted?
What's that?
You need to tell me what you're drinking tonight.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Okay. So I have another Handy Market special.
Oh, and oh, is it a special?
Well, I don't know. It always feels special. It's another Untitled Art. Which is the dessert beer today. It's Zanzibar chocolate ice cream stout.
Oh, there you go. Zanzibar.
I don't know what that is. It's 8%. Artist is Ryan Smith. Let's see.
I took Timmy to the doctor, and his doctor is right down the street from Valley Brewers, and Valley Brewers has the back room. I've talked about them often on the podcast. Uh-huh. And we stopped at Valley Brewers because they had 30% off growler fills.
Wow.
So I thought, you know what? I'm going to get a couple growler fills. Well, man, they're running out of stuff. I wanted a Belgian quadruple. It wasn't there. So I thought, okay, well, I got this Dunkel. And a Dunkel is like kind of a dark lager. It's only 4.9%.
Uh-huh.
It's tough reading Chris's handwriting, but it's like Chapman Graf Go or something. I don't even know what it is. The name is something of Munich. I don't even know what that is. I can't read. I don't know. And the style is Dunkel.
Dunkel. We have Dunkel.
But a Dunkel, I'll tell you though, man, it's like a malty dark lager.
Mm-hmm.
It is nothing like what you think of a lager. When you think of a lager, you think of like PBRs and you think of like these.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like I think you mentioned episode, maybe 2-3 episodes ago, you had a beer sitting out and it was getting warm and you're like, oh my God, the flavors are opening. But when you have a lager, you're like, I need to drink it cold because it's like, if it gets warm, it's so terrible and such.
Yeah.
I would say this runs along the avenue of how an ale is. It tastes nothing like your standard pale lager. You know, pale lager would be like those kind of like yellow fizz almost, right?
Right.
Where, I mean, this thing, that's a lager there, if you can see the color.
That's beautiful.
Oh, it is so, it's 4.9. It's not real high in ABV, but it's like, it has a high malt profile. It's very, like, it's a little bit sweet,
mm-hmm.
but it finishes really dry. And oh, it is so, it is really, really good. How about your tasting notes? Yours looks dark as well.
Yes, mine is a beautiful chocolatey a stout.
Wow, that is so dark.
And it was amazing. I had to do a vigorous pour to get a nice head on it, and it's already gone.
There you go.
But it is, you know, it's like the dark, it's almost like that bittersweet chocolate. And I'm actually a fan of like an 85% and 90%, you know, cacao dark chocolate.
Oh yeah, me too. Oh, bitter. Yeah.
It has like that bitterness. And even in the chocolate bars, you can taste like a chocolate alcohol. You know, it almost tastes like an alcohol pucker. And this has that with the...
an alcohol pucker.
This one has that and kind of has the milk sugars to balance it out a little bit. I have a question about your growlers. So when we do growlers, I have a growler from... that Handmade, which is right up the street in Chatsworth, I think. And Anne bought us a little group. She bought us...
A Groupon?
She bought us a Groupon or just a discount. Right before coronavirus hit, she bought Frank and I a present that we could get a couple growlers and a tasting while we're there.
Okay.
A tasting for two and a couple growlers to go. And I was like, oh, that's an awesome gift. Thank you. You know, so Frank and I were going to go and then coronavirus hit and it shut it all down, you know? So she called this week and she confirmed that they still had it. But when Frank and I split a growler, it's usually like we have to drink it like within a day of cracking it. Do you find like the loss of carbonation a problem with your tap pulled growlers?
Yeah, I mean, I would say you have 2 days probably. I mean, you need to drink them fairly quick. I don't know. They'll probably last 2 days best is from my experience.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't think what you're finding is unreasonable. Getting back to our week, you're exhausted from graduations, getting everything set up.
And it's also this huge like releaser, you know, after school, now school's over, it's like we're into the summertime and we're trying to figure out summer plans and what can we do during coronavirus. Yeah.
You're like, no more Zoom meetings.
No more Zoom meetings for the kids. I still have to do my work. You know, I had a...
Well, your work, yeah.
I had a full day of work today. Well, almost.
But you would anyway,
though. I know. I would anyway. But it's like, oh, now that I'm working from home, I'm like, I'm trying to fix up the garage so I can actually write it off on my taxes now. Because, you know, right now we're using tons of electricity to run all this work stuff. But without a dedicated room for it, I can't really write it off, says the insurance, says my tax guy.
Oh, because you're working from home.
Yeah.
You want to use the dining room. So that square footage of the dining room as like, let's say it's like 500 square feet or something.
Right.
You want to say like 500 square feet has X value
right.
in my home. And that X value is what I want to say
is dedicated to work.
Right. Exactly.
that my office, that my job isn't reimbursing me for.
So you're trying to create that value out of your garage square footage. Is that what I'm to understand?
So, yeah. So if I convert my garage and, you know, Frank gave me a desk, so we put a desk back there. Frank and I are going to work on running electricity out there. Right now, just an extension cord running out there. So,
well, what are you going to do when it's 110?
Well, you know, if it has electricity out there, we could put a little window unit out there and have a little AC unit out there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's outside. It's fine. You know, whatever. If I could write that off, it's gonna be amazing.
And like your team will be like, Ted, why are you sweating? Dude, I'm trying to get this shit written off on my taxes. You know, and you're just out there just dying for like to save like pennies on the dollar for your write off, you know? Oh man.
So yeah, so that's been our week. We're still clearing stuff out. We have a lot to go. This is the slowest garage cleaning I've ever done in my life. So,
well, I know a quicker way to do it.
Throw it in the trash.
Just throw it in the trash. Let's let it go. Just let it go.
Well, how's your week? You've had a week.
Oh, I got a number of things to talk about. So bike advocacy. Let's start at bike advocacy. So I've been working with trying to get various bike lanes, bike paths and things in town going for, oh, I don't know, man, a couple of years now, let's say. So this was like a monumentous week. I get an email from, because I don't pay attention to when the city council meetings are and so on. I mean, I'm such a terrible citizen, but like who the hell pays attention to when city council meetings are, right? I mean, you got to be a complete nerd. Well, anyway, so I get an email from the engineer I've been like, you know, emailing back and forth with for quite some time.
Right.
And he said, hey, you're going to like this week's city council meeting. You know, it's worth a gander. Why don't you check it out? So I watch it and he gives me the timestamps and, you know, it's like on YouTube or something. So I watch the city council meeting and sure enough, everything I've been working on, well, let me back up really quick. So everything I've been working on was in the plan, the master plan, gets removed from the master plan. Like, I'm kind of upset and disappointed. And then we're watching the city council meeting. It all gets added back in. The city council and the mayor and stuff, they're like scolding the engineers to say like, hey, you need to be like putting this back in. We paid all this money for studies and blah, 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 you know?
Uh-huh.
So a bike advocacy victory. Like a lot of the projects that they removed that I was trying to champion, they wound up putting back into the plan. So I thought that was like, I mean, I wanted to cry. I was so happy.
That's you awesome.
It was like, I mean, you're talking like years of like writing and like meeting with people and talking to people and all this stuff. And like, you're getting nowhere. And then all of a sudden the city council, cause I wrote them too. The city council like puts all the stuff I was talking about into the plan. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe this actually went through. So that was,
you're high.
That was like awesome for the week. It was amazing. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I got my garden in, I got tomatoes and peppers and you know, whatever, but okay. Sure, that's we got that one. But here's the thing I want to talk about.
Okay, I'm ready.
And that is, and we chatted a little bit during the week.
You gave me real time while this was happening to you. So
yeah, I'm giving Ted real. How do you know what I'm talking about? No. But Disney Plus and Hulu bundling, but it also includes ESPN Plus.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give you the quick abridged version because it gets freaking, like you said, the real time. I'm just going to make this sort of on the fast.
Yes.
But really quick. So I heard about the show and we'll get into that with what we're watching. But I heard about the show, What We Do in the Shadows on Hulu. And essentially the best way to describe it is it's The Office for vampires.
Who told you about it? Who recommended it to you?
It was a podcast I listened to, like a streets blog podcast. It's one of those like bike advocacy, you know, it's kind of like in that whole wheelhouse of bike advocacy that I nerd out on because like I just get in that world. But anyway, so they have this one segment where at the end of their podcast, they talk about all like the fun and good things that are going on in their life. And the guy was talking about What We Do in the Shadows and how the show is so funny. So I thought, okay, I'll check it out. So, you know, I made a note of it. I annotated, and I get in front of a computer later and I look it up and I'm like, oh, it's on Hulu. And I watched the trailer, and we didn't subscribe to Hulu, and I watched the trailer and I'm like, I guess this is the what we're watching segment.
Might as well. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. But so anyway, I watched the trailer to it and I was like, oh, that looks amazing. But that was, but it was the season two trailer. There's two seasons in. It was the season two trailer. I'm like, oh, season two. Well, what's season one? And I watched season one and the trailer was literally snippets from the first episode. I'm like, well, that trailer was, you know, now that like I know because I watched the first episode, I'm like, that trailer sucked. It's like a highlight of the first episode. However, it was good enough to get me to want to subscribe to Hulu.
Wow.
So I subscribed to Hulu. $11.99 ad-free. Okay, so this brings me into the Disney Plus bundle. So I the following morning, me and Clarissa watched like three episodes. They're only like 23 minutes, so they're quick.
Right.
We watch three episodes. We go to bed. I wake up the next day, and I'm like, that's it. I'm bundling. And what winds up happening is you bundle, and you're okay because we signed up for Hulu first. The way it appears, and they don't explain this to you, but the way it appears is that you're going to be double billed $12.99 and $11.99. So I'm like, oh, I better cancel Hulu. So I cancel Hulu. And then it's like, I immediately move from ad-free to ad-supported. And I was like, well, I don't want ad-supported. I don't want ad-free. You can't go back.
Ugh.
There's no way to go back. So I was like, okay, doing some looking around. And pretty much you have to just cancel Disney Plus, the whole thing.
Your three-year subscription.
And start over. Well, that most people do it in a month, right? But even still a month. But yeah, a three-year subscription. So I'm like, that ain't going to happen. I'm not waiting until 2022, November. So I call up and they're like, oh yeah, we'll cancel it for you. And I'll send you over to, so they do. And they said, okay, and I'll send you over to Hulu and they'll get you signed up and all this is good. Get over to Hulu. I'm on the phone and I'm talking to the guy. And because, see, the main thing is, and this is important to know, the main thing is the Disney Plus email and the Hulu email have to match. That's how they know that they're...
It's bundled.
That it's bundled. So if you have them done separately and you want to bundle, as long as those two emails are alike, the even if you have the ad free, you still pay the main price. So I think it's like $6 for Disney and $12 for Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
But really what happens is you get ESPN Plus for like a penny. Right. You get it free,
right,
essentially. So that's really the benefit of bundling, is you get ESPN Plus for free. So the guy at Hulu says, oh, well, because your email, and he goes through this whole thing about how my email was still connected to the old one, we need to start all new accounts.
Across the board.
Across the board. And I'm like, all new accounts. And like, I'm in the middle of this and I'm so confused at this point. I give him like another account, a Yahoo account. I'm like, all right, just go with that. Then I realized they're about to cancel the $3 a month deal thing that we got for 3 years.
Right. That's weird.
So I was like, oh, man. Well, I realized that the other one finally, the cancel finally went through. So I canceled the whole Yahoo thing the guy did. This is after the fact. I hung up with him. I canceled the whole Yahoo one. I re-sign up with the Google one. And needless to say, I was right back where I started at that point. But so anybody out there, all I want to say is if you want the ad free, you need to first sign up through Hulu and then sign up through Disney Plus. If you're already signed up for Disney Plus, sign up at Hulu with the same email address for the bundle that you want. So bundle meaning like ad free or the $45 live TV or whatever, but you have to do Hulu separate, and then it will recognize the two. And then what it does is it credits you back a certain portion of that money. So I think it's like $9. It credits you back back.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't tell you this anywhere. That's the main thing.
And they have different call centers.
Exactly.
So the Disney Plus people had to forward you to the Hulu people.
Exactly.
And like I've said in every episode that we talked about this, you know, while I work at Disney, I'm not a representative of Disney, and I don't have any, you know, insight beyond what we're talking about. But it is interesting to say that, you know, that is a strange byproduct of having this thing where Hulu's like an owned property, but it's not 100. There's something, I don't think we're at 100%, although we are on the road to 100%. But yeah, I do remember many months ago, I think before Disney Plus launched, you know, there was actual resistance from, you know, executives about, you know, talking about bundling. So I don't think they wanted to bundle.
And the issue that I have with it is, okay, I get it. So you're going to bundle and you're going to bundle the ad version. Fine. You know, the ad version's like $6, let's say. So for twice as much, $12, you get ad free. But once you bundle into the ad free, or I'm sorry, the ad version, and let's say you watch a few episodes and you're like, man, ads suck. I just wanted the ad free. There is no choice, no option but to cancel everything and start all over.
You can't upgrade.
You can't upgrade. You can't downgrade. You can't shift. There's no buttons. There's nothing. It's like,
yeah,
once you're in, you're in. And if you screwed up like I did, I screwed up. Once you screw up, you can't like unscrew up. So you have to go through like this entire process of, you know, call centers and canceling this. And then they add in, you know, and it just becomes this whole thing. So like I said, moral of the story, sign up for Disney Plus if you haven't, because I think it's worth it. Sign up for Hulu, because so far what I like about, or what I see in Hulu, I like.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for separate, and then once you're into where you want to be, whether it's ads or the $45 live TV ad free or whatever it might be, then you bundle, and with that you get ESPN Plus.
But when you go to bundle it, start with the Hulu people, right?
I would say before you click, so in Disney Plus or in Hulu, either way,
mm-hmm,
before you click bundle, be sure to have your Hulu locked in for the version of Hulu
you want.
Yeah, to what you want.
Okay.
Then on the Disney Plus side of the house, let's say, if you click bundle, it will recognize that you're, because you have the same email address, it will recognize that you're bundled. And then what it does is the monthly bill will then credit you back a certain portion of the difference, which I think is around like, and I mean, I don't know if it's exactly, it hasn't happened yet for me.
You'll see it.
I think,
yeah,
it's around like $6 to $9, somewhere in that range.
Okay. A month.
Yeah. A month. Yeah. A month.
That's good. All right. Awesome.
But yeah, like I said, I mean, the main thing is just do them separate and you'll be cool. Don't do the Disney bundle first unless you want the ads, but then you can never go back again.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, it sucks.
I don't mind the ads on Hulu. I watch Hulu with ads because I get it through Sprint. I guess it's T-Mobile now. But yeah, so I don't mind the ads. And I only watch a handful of things. I watch, this is an FX show, right? The What We Do in the Shadows, I think.
FX, yeah, it's FX.
Yeah, so FX, the FX on Hulu is pretty strong. I love the brand.
Solid show. I mean, it's all the, just to finish out what we're watching, then I don't have to get back to it.
Okay, cool.
It is all of the vampire tropes,
uh-huh,
that you know from all the fairy books and the story tales. Wait, that storybook? Okay, sure.
What he said.
Yeah. But it's all of that, you know? And I mean, it is just pure comedy, and they try and do some things that if you're not paying attention, you'll miss.
Yeah.
Just quick example, the main vampire gets called out to like a fight. So he doesn't want to fight. So he wants to get past people.
Mm-hmm.
So he throws a toothpick in his mouth, and that's like his disguise. You know, it's just like silly little like things that you don't really notice.
Yeah.
But like, if you notice, they're really hilarious. And the whole show is just like super intelligent.
So obviously this is based on a movie.
That's right. It is based on a movie. I do want to watch the movie.
You have to see the movie. Yes.
Have you seen it?
I saw the movie and I remember it now, but I forgot that I saw the whole thing. But yes, it is Taika Waititi, the director of Thor Ragnarok and the next director of the next Star Wars movie or series or something. He's the next director of Star Wars something. And he directed some of the episodes of Mandalorian.
Okay.
As well. And he was IG-11. He was he played the robot in Mandalorian. I would describe the movie. You said it's like The Office meets vampires or vampires in The Office. And I would describe the movie as kind of closer to Real World. You know what I mean? I guess because it was older. But it was like they were basically interviewing these vampires that were roommates. And they just, some of the roommates hated the other roommates. So it was just about that. It was about like,
that's sort of how this is too. Yeah.
So I think that is the funny, that comedy ensues all over the place. So yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. All right. So after all our week and the crazy Hulu debacle and
now everyone's exhausted.
Yeah, no, I've been all week. I've been this exhausted and I know how you feel now. So speaking of exhausted, you ever ride your bike up huge mountains for like 3 week bike races?
Nope. Can't say I do.
I've done big mountains, but never 3 week bike races. So one that I wanted to talk about is Lance.
Lance is 30 for 30. Now that you have ESPN Plus, you get this, right?
I'm going to watch it. It comes out tomorrow night. So here's the thing, though. Okay, so it drops tomorrow night, which is... No, I'm sorry. Not tomorrow night. Sunday night, which is... what is that? The 24th, maybe?
Okay, something like that.
524, I believe. But it's a two-part series. So 524 and then the following week, which is like June 1st or something along those lines. No, I'm sorry. Maybe it's May 31st or so. I don't even know. Well, it'll be in our show notes as all the other ones are, but
okay.
We probably should do our homework, but
31st. It's the 31st. So it's the 24th and the 31st.
Okay, there you go. The 24th and 31st. But here's the thing that intrigues me about it, though. So it's the story about Lance Armstrong and his doping and everything, of course, that, you know, we've heard so much about. But 30 for 30s are solid. I mean, I think we knew it.
Always.
Yeah, we need to acknowledge that 30 for 30s are solid. The second thing I think is we know the story. I've seen like 4 or 5 different documentaries that surround Lance Armstrong and his career, his doping and his successes and downfall and the whole thing.
Right.
Every one of those documentaries is like an hour.
Uh-huh.
And they cover it beginning to end, boom, hour. This is 4 hours. What else could they? I mean, they must go into like, you know, when he was 5, his first like his like run-a-thon to raise awareness to raise money for the PTA. I mean, what are they going to get into?
Well, I mean, to me, the thing is, what those other documentaries, do they have post-disgrace Lance Armstrong interviewed?
One of them did, and it was a dude from CBS, like from 60 okay. Minutes, who interviewed him.
Okay, so they had a little bit of that. To me, that's the angle for this. You know, I watched a trailer. You gave me the trailer, and it was to me, it was the most intriguing thing about the whole thing is that, you know, Lance doesn't shy away from it. He's pretty open about it in his podcast.
Well, now he is. Yeah.
Yeah, in his podcast and in his life, and he's come to terms with dealing with this disgrace, you know? But it's kind of like the way that this interviewer, Marina, is that her name? Like the producer of this show, the director of it, is the one who's interviewing Lance.
Right.
You know, I think the opening question of the trailer is, what's the worst thing you've done in your life or something? And Lance has to chuckle at that because, you know, he knows what people want to talk about with him is this disgrace. But could you imagine that the one thing that everyone wants to talk to you about is like the worst thing that has happened to you and you're not a victim of it. You caused it. So it's like it's this double this double hit of like, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to you. It's completely your doing. And yet, you know, you still have to endure. You still have to endeavor. You have to continue on in whatever it is that you're doing. So I think that's he's just an interesting human being with or without that part of it. But that part of it makes it more complex. I mean, we talk about beers and we talk about the complexity of flavors and things like that. And if this can hit you like five different ways in over 4 hours, if it can take you, you know, the first half hour, you're like, oh, go get him, you know, ask him hard questions and then make you feel sorry for him. And then you're at the end of the first episode, you don't know how you feel. And then the second episode, you know, if it takes you on a roller coaster of your relationship as a fan or as a person who thinks they know about Lance Armstrong and his journey through life and disgrace, you know, this ultimate high, you know, with this huge downfall, you know, like the farthest downfall. And it's so funny because Icarus is the name of that doc about the Russian doping, right? But it's very similar, you know? It's like it's all in the same vein, literally and figuratively, right? You know, the blood doping. That's what I'm hoping for.
So his post-interview was conducted by Mike Tirico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that was the one where he was already fallen from grace, let's say. It was already post-Oprah, and I mean, you're talking years later, and he comes out to talk about things. So Mike Tirico talked about him, or talked with him.
Right.
But yeah, I agree though. I mean, it's there's a lot to be had, and I think all of these other documentaries that you've seen or that people know of, I mean, Hour 20, and I think they hit on the beginning of his career a little bit. They get into his winnings of the Tour de France, his downfall, and then like all the controversy surrounding it.
Right.
And that like, I think it entails like 1 hour, and they just like touch on all that stuff really quick, and then you walk away with like, wow, what a jerk.
Right.
Where I think if you're looking at two-hour segments, I mean, 4 hours, they got to get into like his life, his person, his personality, his relationships, his mom, you know, like they got to go deep because, I mean, what else is there for 4 hours on this guy?
Maybe they interview Sheryl Crow for an hour. They could do that.
They could do that too. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it because I want to see what more they bring to the story that we maybe don't know. You know, that's the People magazine, I guess, aspect. And then as a cycling fan, you know, I mean, let me put it this way. Was he doping and all the bad things that come from that and the cheating and the scandals and the lies and whatever? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100% all that's true. But so is everybody else, right?
Yes.
I'm not saying that justifies it, right, and makes it right. But when you look at the top 20 people over 7 years of racing were all indicted of drugs, and the guy who beat them all kept popping clean, but yet he's crushing everybody. Everybody who's drugging, it's like, wait a minute here.
You got a bag of penis on your leg, don't you?
A bag of penis? What does that even mean?
I'm sorry, you got a bag of piss taped to your leg, right? Is that what it is? Is that what you did?
No, but what I'm saying though is like, if you look at the top 20 over 7 years, 19 of that 20 were all, and actually it goes even deeper than that, but I mean, like, they were all indicted in drugs.
Right.
But the top guy, the number one guy, which is Armstrong.
How?
The only difference is he just had better doctors.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
There's no way this guy is beating people, all these people drugging clean. They're all drugging. But the only defense I have of him, which is probably a loose defense, though, is if you didn't drug, you weren't even in the game.
Well, I mean, the same thing is true for baseball, right? I mean, the sluggers.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, the sluggers of this time, Mark McGwire.
Mark McGwire, right.
All those guys, you know, you could tell that they were beefed up you know, PEDs to the max, you know, and everybody was doing it. And it was like, you know, all those years have asterisks by them because of the doping scandal that was so widespread. And this is the same thing. And I think when we talk about it, we can easily talk about it as outsiders, and we can say that this was the norm of what was going on. But when Lance does it, then he gets, you know, the people around him saying like, oh, there he goes again, not being accountable for his actions, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing about it, though, is it's like, if it wasn't him, it was somebody else.
Right.
And it was somebody else in a lot of ways. Like, there's, you know, I mean, I'm going to get a little bit wonky here, but Marco Pantani, he was an Italian racer and he got popped for drugs. I think his documentary is on Amazon Prime, but he got popped for drugs during the Giro d'Italia, which is essentially the Tour of Italy. And then he went to do the Tour de France. And, you know, I mean, and he had the same scandals. He just didn't do it seven times, you know, and he got caught like early on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Armstrong just so happened to game the system much longer than everybody else did. And I think it made the story that much bigger because, I mean, you're looking at a decade or more of drugs, where the other guys got caught like within year, 2 years, you know, or somewhere in that realm, you know. So, but no, I mean, I think this will be enjoyable. I'm looking way forward to watching it as a cycling fan, as a guy who races himself and everything. And I don't know, nothing else I could say about it really is other than like, I don't know what they're going to put in 4 hours that hasn't already been covered in 1 hour.
We shall see. We shall see. Or you will see. I don't know if I don't think I have ESPN Plus, so you'll have to tell me all about it.
Yeah, I will. I will. All right. Force of nature.
Yes.
Sometimes I like to think Ted's a force of nature with those calves. Where did you find this one?
So, you know, I was just perusing and I saw a lot of the trailers that I saw last week and that I passed over. And then I came across a Mel Gibson weather action movie, weather action heist movie. So
can I say,
tell me,
I know Dennis Farina is dead.
Uh-huh.
But when I saw this, I thought like Dennis Farina, like I thought they brought him back or something because Mel Gibson looks like Dennis. You know who Dennis Farina is? Yeah. Snatch.
You said Snatch. Get Shorty. Yes.
Get Shorty. Yeah. Yeah. He's an ex-Chicago cop or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he always had that Chicago accent, you know? But when I saw this, I'm like, what? Dennis Farina?
he shot a movie before he died, and then they put it out now.
Totally what I thought, man. Totally what I thought. Like, Mel Gibson action, really action weather, you know?
Yes. It's an action weather heist movie. You know, it's very, very specific.
But here's the funny thing, though. Oh, dude, talk about, you know, a niche. Here's the funny thing, though. So about 3 years ago or whatever, I don't remember which hurricane it was. There's been so many. But hurricanes heading towards bearing down on Houston. And Clarissa's whole family's in the Houston area.
Right.
And her, I don't know, what would her mom's sister be? Her aunt, I guess, right? Yeah, her aunt.
Her aunt, yeah.
Yeah, her aunt. So her aunt lives in Port Lavaca, Texas, literally like 2 feet elevation.
Ugh.
Their house is like just above the waterline. So this hurricane's bearing down and like the aunt's house is the epicenter of where this thing's coming through. And all the aunt kept saying was, I ain't leaving. And I'm watching this trailer and he's like, I ain't leaving. I'm like, what do you mean this guy's not leaving? But then when he realizes there's $55 million in the vault, I'm thinking, oh my God, her aunt has $55 million in the basement.
That's why she didn't want to leave.
That's why she's not leaving. Is this drug money?
It might be. I'm not as interested in what where the money's from or what the topic of this film is.
Yeah.
This film, so to me, the reason that I chose this film are for two reasons. Titles, we often get hung up on titles. And Force of Nature, I don't know if you're a Sandra Bullock fan or not, and I am. And she had a film called Forces of Nature.
Oh.
And it was around 2000, I think. Let's see. 1999, Forces of Nature. It's a rom-com with Ben Affleck and Sandra Bullock. So it's a weather romantic comedy, Forces of Nature.
You know how they show the cards? The cards were, like, getting to your point a little bit, the cards were freaking lame. When it rains, it pours. You can't get worse than that.
And we're dads making dad jokes, and we're still calling them out on it, you know?
Oh.
But puns, weather puns aside, there's another movie called Snake Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Nick Cage movie in a casino.
Right.
And they do the same thing. It's a similar thing where there's a heist going on during a weather event, you know?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
They aren't even the first weather heist movie, you know? So they're unoriginal in their titles. They're still a weather rom-com title. And then they took, it's a force of nature instead of forces of nature. And then they are unoriginal because Nick Cage and Brian De Palma, I believe, was the director of that one. And I kind of, you know, it's a little cheeky because Nick Cage is in it, but I'm a fan of anything Nick Cage does.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So to see this, and, you know, Emil Hirsch, I like him a lot, but I don't know. What do you think about this movie? Do you feel like it feels like they want to put this out in the theaters, and it's almost like they're going to release, they have this out for June 30th. I don't know if it's going to be in theaters or if it's going to be streaming, but it feels like they're testing the waters, as it were, about, like, putting something out in the theater. And how do you test something like the summer blockbuster with a movie like this that feels, you know, on the lighter side of, you know, Mel Gibson's a huge actor, but he hasn't done stuff in a long time. And Anne said, is he coming out of retirement to do this movie? It feels like he's coming out of retirement to do this movie, you know?
Well, I read a news article about the theaters and so on, and they had a photograph of moviegoers in the Czech Republic.
Uh-huh.
And in the Czech Republic, the way this photograph was, is much like it is in the U.S. with stadium seating. And I mean, if they didn't say it was the Czech Republic, it could have been anywhere USA.
Right.
I mean, it was so similar. And it was like every three seats there was somebody.
Ugh.
And then the next row, it was like everybody was shifted over a couple of seats, and then everybody was shifted over a couple of seats in the next row. And, you know, so they had the spacing and the spreading done okay. And I mean, I would say if it's a theater of, I don't know, what does the theater hold, 500, maybe they had like 150 or something.
Wow.
It was fairly crowded for that, but it was so evenly spaced and dispersed.
Were they wearing masks?
And yes, they did have masks in the picture. So they were evenly dispersed and there were masks in the picture. So I could see theaters trying to attract people with a movie like this to say, okay, look, we're not going to put out the best. Maybe they even go like half price or something to get people to come in.
Ugh.
And then they're going to say, like, look, we're going to protect you. We're going to make sure that our concessions are good. So I was talking to my cousin the other day. We did a little Zoom thing with his kids and our kids.
Yeah.
And everything.
Cool.
And the theater by his house is not running movies, but their concessions are open.
Huh.
They're saying, come on in, buy your popcorn, buy your Raisinets, buy all the stuff you're going to buy that you typically would buy, and just take it home and go watch your movies.
Huh.
So they're doing concessions and everything. So they're working at...
carry out concessions.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like all the movie stuff you get. So like you get Raisinets. So you could go like to the grocery store and get a box of Raisinets for like 99 cents. Or you go to the theater and get a box of Raisinets for $5.99.
How much do you want to support your local theater? Or is it a huge chain? You know, it doesn't even matter.
That's right.
Is that going to work? I mean, you and I have talked for 2 years about how the barrier to going to the theaters was already astronomical for both of us as family men, you know, with like families of four. To take the kids to the movies is like $100, you know, or
so
75 bucks, you know?
Yeah.
And And just to think of like adding the danger of being out in this and just like, you know, how you said it, there's always one, you know what I mean? Like, do we trust the theaters to have like infrared cameras pointing at the audience to make sure everybody leaves their mask on during the thing?
Or who's hot?
Right. Do they have thermal cameras? Wait a minute.
That guy's purple.
Get him out of there.
Yeah, exactly.
He's burning up.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because I think the theater, and maybe this has always been the case, I don't know, but the theater has a number of barriers. Like my parents, before all this, they would go to the movies all the time.
Right.
It was like a weekly thing. They're going to see all the movies and stuff. And, you know, they're in their 70s and like they have the time. They get the senior discount, you know. And then like when me and Clarissa were dating, you know, almost 20 years ago, but when we were dating and stuff, like we would go to the Fortune House, Thai food. And then, you know, our favorite date night was pretty much the Fortune House Thai food. We go to see a movie, you know? And so I think it's like, when you think about the movies, it's people without kids.
Yeah.
And then when you hit like family time, whether it's now in the streaming space or back in the day with like Blockbuster or before Blockbuster, the mom and pop home video rental.
Right.
You know, or Disney VHS or whatever. I think the movie space with kids, because I mean, let's face it, before all of that, like, I don't know, what, early 80s or late or 70s. And then it was a different world altogether. I rarely went to the movies. You know, I saw Star Wars in the theater. That was one of the few things I saw in the theater with my family, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I went to the theater a lot growing up. You know, we would do that thing where you go into 11 a.m. movie. We did movie like summers.
You know what? Yeah, we did the early, and it was like, well, back then it was like a 99 cents or something, or like $1.99, you know, because you went in early.
And then we would go into, we'd do a triple bill. We'd like see the three movies that are out under for that money. So we'd sneak in from one to another, you know?
Oh boy. Ted has no ethics.
So we did that, but I don't know. It's going to be hard to tell. And it's going to be hard to tell if you put this caliber of movie. I mean, this feels like it's like an inverse of what's going on. It's like, this is typically your straight to DVD, you know, big stars later in their career, something that, you know, not a lot of, you know, push around it, not a huge production company behind it. So it's interesting.
Well, and let me ask this. Is Mel Gibson, if you see him on the marquee,
mm-hmm.
is he enough of a draw these days to get a younger generation into the movie
theater? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, he's not Mad Max anymore.
He's not Braveheart. He's not William Wallace.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just watch those movies. Those are the movies. If you want to see Mel Gibson, watch the movies that he was in when he was...
Yeah, The Patriot.
When he was at his peak. Yeah, The Patriot's a great movie. Like, you right. know, Braveheart's a great movie. You know what I mean? They're great movies, and he was a great actor at that time. Like, and it's interesting. It's very interesting to think, let's see if this comes out in the theaters at the end of June.
Yeah.
And what the end of June looks like. If June 30th is this, and they're spacing people out in movie theaters like that, it's about time and exposure. So if you're in an enclosed circulating air area for 2 hours with, you know, 150 people, that's a lot. That's a lot of time and exposure. You know, it's like,
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I'd want a full M95 or N95 or whatever the thing is called that captures all the micro particles, because, you know.
I want a fresh air hood.
Anyway, so I don't know if I'm going to see this, and I don't even know if this is actually coming out in the theaters, but I thought it was interesting for all the reasons that I was saying.
Let's say it came to Netflix. You're already paying for Netflix, and you just have to sit down and hit go. Would you watch it?
Maybe.
I have the same reservation, because, like, man, it's like there's other things I want to watch.
Right.
I mean, yeah, like Bad Weather Heist. I don't know. it just seems so bizarre. Like you said, you know, it's weird.
Let's watch Snake Eyes again. Let's just relive, the 2000 year 2000 or 1999, and just go back in time and watch all that old stuff, because that's what we should do.
The producers of Force of Nature are like, those guys suck. All right, what are you watching this week? I told you what I was watching.
All right, so this week, let's see what I've watched. I've watched some stuff other than, video commencement videos. So we watched Goonies for my...
What? Goonies?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then, speaking of Nicolas Cage, last weekend we put a TV on the driveway and we set up our Adirondack chairs that we cleaned up for the summer because we're getting ready for summer. And we watched The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Now, why on the driveway? Just to be outside or?
Just to be outside eating, dinner al fresco and, because we have the electricity dragged out to the garage. So right in front of the garage, we set up some chairs and.
Oh, so you were on the back end over there, not the front end.
Exactly. Not the front driveway, but the back driveway under the basketball hoop, so that was great. That was a movie that I remember liking a lot, and it got a lot of flack, I guess. It was critically panned, but since we're big Natural Treasure fans, we also watched that this week.
National Treasure is a good one, yeah.
So if you're a National Treasure fan, then you should try out this Sorcerer's Apprentice. It's a good Disney flick. It feels like it's in that vein. Nicolas Cage, of course, as always. Then there's a couple other things that I watched, but I guess they weren't that memorable. I'm catching up on, I'm doing Riverdale. I got into this season of Riverdale. So it's season 4 of Riverdale.
Wait, Riverdale? That sounds familiar.
It's the Archie and Jughead. It's a CW series that's out on Netflix now.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar. I was thinking of something else.
So Archie and Jughead and Veronica and Betty. And just for all the, Riverdale fans out there, I am Team Betty all the way.
There you go.
And her sweater collection is phenomenal. But it is ridiculous, and and I write in a chat to a group of people, and I don't know whether it's good or not, or whether I should keep watching it. And Audrey says that all of her friends say it's trash. So my 14-year-old says I'm watching trash.
That's so funny.
But sometimes I like it. So it's like, this is trash that I can kind of get into. But it is very, very strange. So I don't know. I don't know. I haven't come to a conclusion of whether it's good or bad, but I love watching it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching Devs now that we have Hulu.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah, you've talked about that a few weeks and raved. Over and over. When we're done with what we do in the shadows, I'm looking forward to Devs.
How many episodes are the two seasons of What We Do in the Shadows?
I think they're around like 8 a piece or something.
Oh,
they're
wow.
Long. And they're like 22, 23 minutes, Like we're done with the first season and we have not yet started the second, but yeah, we're almost, it might be 9 episodes or something. I mean, it's like really short and the episodes are really short. So you could just like pop through them in a couple of nights, So it's not much.
I will put it on the list.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And the funny thing about it though is, so I grew up in like a Southern Baptist household and very evangelical Christian.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very sensitized to how people of that religious persuasion might view vampires, vampirism, the dark arts, demonism, and all that kind of stuff, right?
Put away the Ouija board. Don't draw pentagrams.
Exactly.
Devil's playground.
And it doesn't bother me. I mean, I couldn't care less, but I know like if I told my mom, hey mom, check this out, she would be like, oh my God, like this is, she would freak.
I will pray for you, Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly. The reason I mentioned that, though, is if people are sensitive to, like, you know, I don't know, the demon side of Satanism or something, yeah, you're not going to be into this because they touch on that stuff, but they touch on it in such a way that it's like the tropes of those things.
Okay.
So it's not as if they're celebrating them.
Right.
But it's like they're making fun of how they are. So I'll just give you a couple of quick ones. And they bring in vampires into the modern age. So
right.
Vampires you can't see in a mirror. So they get something delivered, and the guy holds out like his tablet. Here, sign here. You got it delivered. He can't sign because he doesn't have that ability to
the register.
It doesn't register, you know. And these are some of the it's like a 3-minute like sequence. They're trying to figure out how to sign the tablet, you know. And it's like, and you're just watching. You're like, this is so stupid.
But yet, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's so funny, though, and it's like, but that's what I mean. It's like, it's not demonic, like they're trying to, like, worship Satan or something. It's like they're making fun of it to the point it's like they can't figure out how to sign a tablet.
Right.
So, yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
Awesome. I can't wait.
All right, man. So, yeah, we'll probably finish that this week. I'm assuming we're going to be starting Devs. We're going to watch the first installment of Lance. And then, yeah, we'll report back next week with more of what we're watching.
Awesome.
So how'd your beer finish? I saw you knock that thing off.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome start to finish. But it was incredible because even as it warmed up over the hour, the complexity of the tasting notes, the flavor notes, they were very, very consistent. So even as it warmed, because it had that chocolate, that dark chocolate flavor to it, it was incredibly stable through the whole thing. You know, you expect it to open up, to flourish, to kind of give you a different note, like a different bitterness profile. But because it started so bitter and heavy, it ended bitter and heavy. It was just warmer. It was an interesting little, you know, play on the typical stouts that I drink.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I know you knock lagers a lot. And I think this is probably a lager that you would more than want to have, because
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I will say, like, if a beer maker puts in the effort to make a lager that shows up as dark as yours, like if you have a dark lager, a black lager, like you've done your work to win me over. I'm willing to give it a taste. I'll definitely buy it. But like you said, it's that yellow sparkly stuff that I just can't drink.
Yeah, I call it yellow fizz.
Yellow fizz. Yeah, that's not worth it. You know, it's like, it's so funny because what did I have? I had a bunch. Did I tell you last week that I gave Frank a bunch of my Tripels and stuff? I had a bunch of Belgians in the fridge, and I was like, these Belgians, I know they're good.
Oh, you're crushing me. You're breaking my heart.
But I was like, but I can't drink all these Belgians. You know what I mean? It's a little too, they're all too close to the same thing. So I was like, you know who would enjoy these? Jimmy. Oh, but Jimmy's so far away. You know who else is? Frank. And Frank's across the street. So let me walk the, I'll put my mask on and walk across the street, give him a 6-pack of Belgian mix match. And he was so happy. It was amazing.
Yeah. And that's why you guys need to, like, hold on to those beers and come visit us and bring some, yeah. Because Clarissa was asking, when are the Willets coming? All right, man. Well, hey, I had a good night tonight. We'll check out all this stuff we talked about, and then we'll report back. That is your mission if you're willing to accept it.
Always. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Good night.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.